satisfied, angry, or former mind that he shared, he used different terminology from the Theravada tradition. So Theravada tradition, the five aggregates, they use the traditional English word feeling. Vedana translate as feeling. This one remained the same, no different. But for the second aggregate, sanya, which is perception, this is Theravada tradition. But Xuanhua side, they use another terminology. They use the terminology as cognition, C-O-G, is it? They like to use this word, cognition. Then after that, the third one is Sankhara. So this one, Sankhara, the Theravada tradition has a lot of English equivalent words, but they cannot define this term, Sankhara, as per the Buddha's meaning. So they try to have five or six of these English equivalent words, and yet it doesn't fully define it. Anyway, we just put it down. First is the most common mental. Mental what? Activity and formation. Activities and formation. Then, what else? What else? What else? Mental state. Mental intention. Mental intention. Mental intention. Mental activity, mental formation, mental intention, mental states. Then, what else? That one is I add on. They're in the Theravada. They don't have. Volition is mental intention, yes. So volition is under this one, mental intention. Very good. Volition. In fact, this mental state covers a lot. Your whatever mind state. So this one cover most of the thing. Mental activity, mental formation, mental intention, mental state. Never mind. If you can recall any other term, you add in later. But as I have explained just now, everything that your mind can do is sankhara, including vedana and sanya. Because you read Abhidhamma, they will tell you sankhara got 52. It's actually 50 plus feeling and perception. That's why it's 52. So this one, I think Xuanhua used another English word. Mainly is mental activity. You turn to page 5. So here, Xuanhua used the term, formation. Mental formation. He just used the word formation. He even omitted the word mental. He just used this word, formation. So, you have to bear in mind when he say cognition, he means perception, sanya. When it's mentioned formation, he means sankhara. Okay? Then the last one is consciousness. This one remains the same, no different. So this one is vijnana, or what we call consciousness. So like I explained earlier on, to understand the mind, then the last one is the form, rupa, rupa, form. Both also same. So this form, there are two types. For the first aspect is physical body, and the second aspect is external form. External form. So the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, The rupa is physical body. So this is first aspect. And this one is second aspect. So according to the Buddha, for us as human being, he can summarize us as the five aggregate of form and mind. And the reason why he wants you to understand it this way is so that you can understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. And this is how his teaching come about, how he make his teaching unique. As we all know, during the Buddha's time, 2,600 years ago, science and maths or technology or the education system is not so advanced. So to explain to people about the mind, the psychological aspect, the psychological mental thinking, and the true mind is not easy because they don't really have the words and the understanding at that time. So what he did is he simplified things and make it very simple. Like the whole of the elements, we know through physics and chemistry that there are so many elements within nature. Yeah. But he just break it down into the four elements, simplify. Yeah. Then he used it in his teaching. For the mind, it's the same. Instead of understanding the whole psyche or what we call psychological process and thinking of the thinking mind, he break the mind into these four aggregates. These four are the aggregates of mind. So like I explained just now, to understand the mind, we have to ask ourselves, what can our mind do? Okay? So now, you will understand why the teaching has been broken down in this way. The most obvious is your mind can feel, isn't it? What is feeling? Pleasant, unpleasant, hot and cold, or whatever sensation, we call it sensation. Good feeling, bad feeling, neutral feeling, or whatever feeling. That is one of the ability of the mind. Okay? Then, what else can your mind do? You can perceive things in it. Whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel or think, you can perceive it. Like my voice, you can perceive it. The Buddha Rupa, the altar table, all of you, this meditation hall, the flooring, the recording, everything, you can perceive them through your senses, your six senses. So this part is also important. They say the Buddha break these two out from Sankara, understand not? Because Sankara is inclusive of these two. But these two are very important ability of the mind. And this sanya is specially needed because it explains to you how the external sense data or external form enters the mind to develop the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind as a thought. Means the pure consciousness with its content of consciousness. So Sankara, everything that your mind can do is the content of consciousness. So now you understand. And the reason why the Buddha add in Vedana is because under the four foundations of mindfulness, the second foundation is Vedana Nupassana, mindfulness of feeling, sensation. That's why it becomes like that. Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, with this, you understand the English word that comes into being and how Xuanhua adopt those words and how Theravada tradition adopt the other words. But they do not completely define what Sankara is. The whole of the mind consists of two minds. And this one, the Theravada tradition hardly teach or mention. They always talk about the three words. What are the three words that they use to explain mind? Eh? First one is what? Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mano. Eh? So mano is one of them. Then what else? Citta, very good. Oh, not bad. Citta. The last one is what? Vinyanang, very good. Sadhu. What is mano? It's always associated with Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. You heard of it, isn't it? That's why there is the mundane mind, mano. That is your thinking mind, mundane mind. So understand this, because they never teach you. So this one is your thinking mind, eh? Or mundane mind. Then what about citta? You have been using a citta nupassana, mindfulness or what? Content of consciousness, understand? What is emotion? Your whatever mind state, understand? That's why citta nupassana is mindfulness of content of consciousness. When the mind has greed, aware. When the mind has anger, aware. When the mind has delusion, aware. That's why within citta nupassana, if you are mindful, you can understand. Yeah. Then the content of consciousness is everything that your mind can do, including your planning, scheming, cunningness, and all those things. Yeah, this is mind's movement or manifestation. So this one is actually the thought. This one is actually the thought. The second aspect of your five aggregate of form and mind. So this thought is actually the pure vijnanang. This vijnanang is the pure consciousness before the content went in. Then when the content went in, it becomes the thought. That's why in the Paticca Samuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara means what? Dependent on ignorance arises what? What is sankhara? Mental activity is there. Human being, what do? One thing to know, one thing to understand and experience. What do your teacher in school tell you? Go back and think about it. The other one is thinking. Yeah, now I got it. Yeah. Mental activity is thinking, actually. This one is thinking. Yeah. So, when they ask you to go back and think about it, that is creating thought process, understand not? Sankhara activity. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Where do you go when you think? I go to your brain, isn't it? This is memory, understand not? Your knowledge, everything that you carry. Your views, opinion, conditioning, knowledge, learning, and whatever that you accumulate while you live your life. All of your good and bad memory, wholesome and unwholesome, they are all accumulated. And when you accumulate them, what happens is this becomes a problem. Because this is not wisdom, understand? You accumulate your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, and all sorts of rubbish inside there, your wrong view and all those things. So when you use the brain, the memory to act, what happens? Because our basis of acting is memory, understand? Knowledge, understand? That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. You are acting according to your fear, your phobia, your whatever delusion or insecurity. All of your negative psychological memory, especially your phobia, your sorrow, your lamentation. Of course, sometimes it's your good memories of the good time. They are all memories. So what happens is you go to the brain. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. So this brain is one of your organs, isn't it? Correct or not? Your six senses, your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your physical body, which is the tactile aspect, then your thought process. So this one, to arise thought consciousness, you need the brain. And this is the organ. This is the organ. So like the physics experiment, when there is a switch for you to make contact, what happens? The light bulb lights up, isn't it? Correct or not? So the lighting up of this is just like our physical organ inside our body. And this power bank, the battery, is like your consciousness, which is energy, understand not? So upon contact, the light bulb lights up, means what? Upon contact of your consciousness with your sense bases and the appropriate external sense data, you become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you technically feel and think. And that is the one that is, we call consciousness, like the light bulb, light up. This process, do you need a God to create? No need, isn't it? It's a nature's process, isn't it? Nature's law, isn't it? So that's why the Buddha say, dependent on ignorant, you want to know, you want to experience, you want to think, you create sankhara activity. So sankhara activity, you go to the brain. So when you think, you make contact with the brain, isn't it? Correct or not? Then you become conscious of what? Mind consciousness, isn't it? That's how your mental consciousness come about. So that consciousness is called vijnana. That's why in the Paticca Samuppada is avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. You understand not? Then after that, what is the next link? Nama rupa, yes. So vijnana paccaya nama rupa. So this one, condition, nama rupa. And this is your form and mind, understand not? Your five aggregate of form and mind. But inside the Paticca Samuppada, this one is the second aspect. So this one is actually your citta. This one is before you put in the content of consciousness. You understand not? Moral, immoral. When the content of consciousness goes into the vijnana, it trigger off the namarupa, which is your thought. Thought consciousness. This is how it happened. If you are mindful, if you are aware, you can see this manifesting. That's why after avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, this is where the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. Means that pure consciousness, like the light bulb light up. You haven't input the content of consciousness. Understand not? You haven't labeled I see, therefore I am. Understand? Because you associate with what you see. But in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness, like the light bulb. But because of your sakayadity, where is the sakayadity? Here. You input the egoic mind, the content of consciousness, then you associate with the seeing. Understand? That's why you say, I see. Then what you see? Like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So this is the first two mental hindrances. Sensual desire, ill will, is that. So every time you perceive or see something through your senses, you stir your mind. You create sensual desire, ill will through like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience reaction. That's why that stirring of the mind is the movement that makes you heedless. Because when you do that, you create mental hindrance. And what are mental hindrance? Mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Because these are not your spiritual faculty. These are not sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. These are sensual desire and ill will. It's mental hindrance. It hinders you. Then, throughout the day you do that, you become so habitual. Understand not? So how to meditate? How can you be in the state of inner awareness without thought? Because your mind that reacts to sense experience continuously create all this like and dislike, which are the sensual desire, ill will, the first two mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why they cannot meditate. So what they do, they need method, technique, and object of meditation to fix the mind, to prevent it from wandering off and creating the mental reaction through ignorance, through sakayadity. And this is how the mundane mind become heedless. This is how the mundane mind fail to develop the meditative mind, which is your pure awareness nature without that, within, without thought. Now you understand. Yeah? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So these three mind is very important. But you ask Brother Wong, Theravada tradition, have you studied this? Word, yes, but they never explained to you. Yeah. So now you understand.